Will you pray with me for a moment? Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We do honor you tonight, and we are grateful for so many reasons, but we mostly are grateful for your son, Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And God, we're grateful not just for the Godhead, but we're grateful for every believer in this room tonight. Thank you for letting us gather together. Now, Lord, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. Fill me full of your Holy Spirit. Fix me and fit me for your service tonight, that we will be more like Jesus on tomorrow than we were on yesterday. And we ask this in his name. Amen. I want to ask something of you. Not everybody, but just a few people. I want to ask you to do something for me. This is not for everybody, but just a few people. If God, only those of you who know that God has been good to you, would you give him some kind of praise? I want to thank God for this privilege. I want to thank God for your pastor. Put your hands together for Pastor Rogers. And I had a chance tonight, just for a few minutes, to meet a man that I hope to have his number and he have my number. I had a chance tonight to meet Dr. Walker. And just from talking to him tonight, I want to talk to him all the time. Amen. Follow this pulpit presence, and then my big brother Tim Woods is in the house tonight, and I thank God for him, and then for just everybody. I'm glad to be here again tonight. What a blessing. What a blessing. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And I would just like to remind some of you of what you already know. This is revival. And for others of you, you might hear something tonight that might be a little new. But either way, I don't want you to turn me off. Luke chapter 17, I want to begin reading at verse 11 of Luke chapter 17. Now, I'll be reading from the King James, New King James translation of Scripture. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who would return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You may be seated. We're not necessarily surprised tonight by things that we have in common that bring us together. Race brings us together. Gender brings us together. Occupation brings us together. Educational levels bring us together. Economic standings bring us together. Trouble bring us together. I'm not really shocked about stuff that bring us together. You'd be surprised what separates us. Matter of fact, one thing that brings us together is trouble. It's obvious trouble will separate us. And you think you have some friends until trouble comes. Some of you can testify to that. That you had some people you thought were connected with you. They would hang with you, stay with you. Y'all were together. Y'all, you know, all the time. You partied together. You shopped together. You talked all the time. Y'all were together till trouble came. And then you discovered that some people you thought who loved you really didn't love you. Matter of fact, some of them didn't even like you. And the trouble separates us. You know, you have fair weather friends who are with you as long as the sun is shining. Yeah, trouble separates us. The amazing thing about this text to me tonight is that not only will trouble separate you, but it appears tonight in the text that triumph can separate you. Success can separate you. You are together in trouble until success shows up. And then when success shows up, you discover you don't have as much in common that you thought you had in trouble. So is the text tonight 10 lepers who meet Jesus and they stand off from a distance and they all cry out to Jesus, have mercy on us. You already know leprosy is the COVID of its day. You develop sometimes these spots or skin irritations and these blotches. That was a certain kind of leprosy where your members of your body just fell off. You developed a stench. And when you developed this, you would go to the priest, who was not just the preacher, but he's kind of like a doctor. And the priest would examine you, and because they looked at leprosy as being cursed of God, the priest would declare you unclean. He would actually read you your last rites while you were alive. So when you went to the priest and you had leprosy, he would examine you and he would say, for as much as it has pleased Almighty God to take unto himself the soul of this dearly departed brother, Now, he would say that while you're standing there, because you were just as good as dead. You would be vanquished from society. Hold on to that. You couldn't go to the party. Your coach couldn't go to church. You would be vanquished from your family. And many times, you just weren't accepted. You had to cry out if people got a certain distance from you. Unclean. Because they thought that it would jump from one person to the other. Leprosy, man, it was the COVID of its day. Matter of fact, leprosy was kind of like sin. Because sin will separate you from your family. Sin will mess with your social life. They actually looked at you as if though you were the cursed of God. And just like sin, the only solution for leprosy was the sun. They would know that the Messiah had come. Whenever someone would heal of leprosy, because nobody had been healed of leprosy for years. In the Old Testament, Naaman was healed of leprosy. So they would know that the Messiah would come whenever leprosy would be healed. And you would gather with other lepers in what would be these little leper colonies outside of the city. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and as he is passing through a certain village, 10 lepers. We would say down in the country where I'm from, 10 of them. They got something in common. All of them got leprosy. Some got leprosy on their hands. Others got it, maybe on a back or something where they can cover it up. Some have blotches on their face. But all of them got leprosy. Now, you think that the people who had it on their hands were the only ones who had leprosy. Because it was visible, leprosy on the face and stuff like that. But there were some who had leprosy on their back. They could just cover it up. Much like church tonight. But some people's sin have gone public. And we heard about it. We read about it. We talked about it in the hallways. But there are some other people who still have sin, but they were able to cover it up with a suit. Cover it up with a nice hairdo. You know what I'm saying? A nice car out there driving up. You think that they don't have any. But you know, the Bible says, not y'all, not Paul, not Saul, but all have sinned and fallen short the glory of God. So all of us got something in common. They had a common case. They have a common cry. Jesus, have mercy on us. They got a common cry. They all together. And the Bible says they stand off and they say to Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus looks at them, understands their case, says to them, go show yourselves to the priest. He doesn't even touch them. He cleanses them by his word. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now let me show you the faith in this. I'm going to get to what I want to talk about in a sec. But the faith is that they've got leprosy, and they cry out to Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus doesn't even touch them. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. And the Bible says, while they're on their way. Now check this out. Stay with me. Jesus tells them, go show yourselves to the priest. When he says it, they still have leprosy. And you're supposed to go show yourselves to the priest after you've been cleansed so that the priest can let you back into society. So when Jesus says it, they still have leprosy. It was only when they're on their way that they notice that they're cleansed. Hold on, wait a minute. Look, I need you to get it. Because Jesus says, I need you to have a post-response pre-deliverance. I know you don't see it yet, But start walking like you already got it. I need you to have a post response, pre-deliverance. If you're going to get it, sometime you got to shout like you already got it. Oh, God, Israel, come here. Just listen, just march around Jericho one time for 7 days. Don't do nothing. Just march around. Don't say nothing. Don't complain. Don't do nothing. Just march around one time for 7 days. On the seventh day, march around seven times and then shout like the walls are already down. Because sometimes in order to get your blessing, you've got to shout in order to get it. And most of the times when you got to get the blessing by shouting is the time when you least likely feel like doing it. But there's another point here, because they are cleansed by the word. He didn't have to touch them. He cleansed them by his word. Jesus says in John chapter 15, now ye are clean through the words that I've spoken unto you. Hold on, let me show you something. And I'm on my way to my point, but I just got to listen. Listen, let me tell you why we're sitting in here tonight. Out of all the stuff you and I have done, and we're sitting in here tonight talking about we're clean. I want you to know it wasn't because of baptism. You know, because if you were a liar when they put you in the water, you just came out a wet liar. Are y'all here with me? Hey, we're really clean tonight because the Lord said so. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm clean, but I know I'm clean because the Lord said so. I might not even look like I'm clean, but I'm clean because the Lord said so. Your salvation and my salvation is because the Lord said so. How do you know you're saved? He said so. He said, if I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on Friday, he was buried and got up on Sunday morning, if I believe that in my heart and confess it with my mouth, I am saved. Tenum. On their way to the priest, looked at their hands. Hands looked new. Looked at the feet. They did too. Clean. 10 of them. But success separates you. Only one turns around and comes back to tell the Lord thank you and to give God glory. All of that was my introduction. Let me give you my subject of my sermon, because I am not just one who always want to deal with people who messed up. I ain't interested in interviewing people who've done something stupid. Some people are attracted to stupidity. So I got 9 of them I could interview tonight. But I don't want to talk to them. I want to talk to a Dr. Walker. I really want to ask him, man, how in the world did you build that big church with all them people in it? Listen, they're not, listen, I did a district revival last week with a district revival. That means a bunch of churches got together. And I think our highest number was 39. And this is one church with all y'all in here. I don't want to interview the district. You need to find somebody successful. I want to ask this man tonight, this one guy, this one fella, what in the world were you thinking? Why did you come back? And that's what I want to title this sermon tonight. Why did you come back? He will tell you the first reason I came, because I had a problem. Second time I came, because I had a praise. But let me give you these 3 points. He says, Oliver, he says, I came back because my deliverance was not my dilemma. Write that down. My deliverance was not my dilemma. Remember I told you, when you get leprosy, you are vanquished from society. You can't go to church. You can't go to the meeting. Nobody invites you to the wiener rolls. Nobody invites you to the parties. You're separated even from your family. I submit to you tonight, as soon as these fellas saw that they were healed, they went back to all of those places that they couldn't go at first. Now, when they were sick, they were together. But now that the Lord has delivered them, they go back to these places, here it is, where the Lord isn't. Has your deliverance become your dilemma? God has brought you out, and now you don't have time for him. Have your prosperity become your problem? Now, since you have a life, you don't have time for the Lord. When you were broke, busted, and disgusted, you were at church every Sunday. Now you got some money, you're going down to the beach for the weekend. We're going to tailgate now. You know, we're going to play golf now on Sundays. There was a time when them people didn't let y'all on the golf course unless you were carrying the club for them. Now you've been delivered and it's become a dilemma. AAU on the weekends. Well, you got to pay for your child to go and play basketball, baseball, or football. Then you got to get hotels. Pastor, I ain't coming. Has your deliverance become your dilemma? You know, we used to shout, boy. We'd take 4 and 5 ushers to hold somebody. But now, you know, we've gotten a plenty and we're trying to be like them other folk. And we're talking about, well, it doesn't take all of that. Has your deliverance? Are you so blessed now that you can't bless him? I was reading today, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is a certain man who planned a big feast. And he told about 3 guys, hey man, I'm going to plan a big feast somewhere, you know, in this time in June or July. Y'all, listen, keep your calendars open, because I'm going to call you when I get everything ready. I want y'all to come. They said, man, we are coming. He got all the stuff ready, sent his servants to go get them. And the servant says, they say they ain't coming. One of them said he got some oxen. The other one said he bought some land. The other one said he bought a wife. Wait a minute. They said they can't come. Wait a minute. When they didn't have any oxen, didn't have any land, and didn't have any wife, they had fellowship with that Lord. But now, since they've got some stuff, he says, I came back because my deliverance was not my dilemma. I try to tell the sisters at Mount Canaan, listen, man, quit looking for Denzel. Find Donnie. And you know what the sister said to me, Reb? You know, listen, all he needs is a tooth right there. Some dark lenses. So you can't see that his eyes are, you know, he's a good man. And the sister said, no, we ain't doing that, because as soon as we clean him up, why? Because deliverance, if you don't watch it, can become your dilemma. It's amazing. occasion people come to church and pray for a job. God, give me a job. I need a job. And then God give them the job and now they can't come to church. Rabbi, I can't come Sunday. I'm working. Where? On the job that the Lord gave you? Don't let your deliverance become your dilemma. He says, the second reason I came back with a predetermined parallel for praise. I said, wait, what do you mean? He says, notice now, when I came back with a loud voice, giving God glory. I fell down at his feet, giving God glory. I said, yeah. He says, notice, I came back with a loud voice. I said, yeah. He says, the reason I came back with a loud voice of praise is because I had a loud voice of prayer. Don't pray on level 9 and then tell the Lord thank you on level 4. Somebody ought to help me here. The Bible says that when they were in trouble, they cried out, Lord, have mercy. Now they got the healing. And they just want to say thank you. No, don't you do that. Don't you do that. If you cried out in prayer, you ought to cry out in praise. If you cried out when it was rough, you ought to thank God now that it's right. Don't get cute now. Don't get pretty now. Don't worry about what people are going to say now. You ought to wave your hand and give God praise. We don't want to get loud anymore. We don't want to get loud anymore. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. It don't take all that. Some of you are committing idolatry. You're committing idolatry. If you yell at an Alabama football game, if you yell for the Atlanta Falcons, I don't know who your team is. Hey, come here. If you yell and hoop and holler when your fraternity brothers and your sorority sisters get together, if you're yelling at the television when your show is on, if you're yelling at your children and then get to church and tell my well, it don't take all that. Now, if the Lord woke you up this morning, if the Lord started you on your way, I think it takes all that and more. I'm talking about if you're really grateful, you ought to let the world know that the Lord has heard my cry. He says, I prepared to come back to holler. I came back with hollering on my mind. And y'all don't even come to church with praise stuff on your mind. Your stuff too tight. You ain't planning on praising him. You ought to wear some loose clothes back to church. Why? Because I came to yell. You know, maybe we should have been done this stuff with this social distancing. You better scoot over a little bit because I came to church today. The Lord has healed my body. The Lord has paid my bills. The Lord has blessed me. I'm planning on hollering in here today. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. I came to give him praise. Anybody here came to give him praise tonight? You know, I tell a story about that older lady that sat over in the corner, and the church was without a pastor, so they had all these preachers coming in, preaching, throwing in their hats and stuff, and she was sitting over there, and then a good preacher preached, and she shout. Kind of good preacher preach, she shout. No good preacher preach, she shout. So they went to her, and like, listen, lady, you gotta cut this out, because you're making all these guys think that they got a chance. You playing with the Lord? She says, no, I ain't playing. She says, when a good preacher preach, I look at him and see Jesus. When a kind of good preacher preach, I look around him and see Jesus. When a no good preacher preach, I look through him and see Jesus. She said, because I came to see Jesus. I came to give him glory. I came to give him praise. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to wave my hand. I came to do my dance. Since I came back with it. Hold on, the Bible says that he's a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans do not necessarily have a connection with God. So the insult here is that we've had 9 who've had a connection with God, but they're not grateful. And here's one who is an outsider, and he's more grateful than the people who've been inside. Y'all missing me? See, there's somebody who's been in church a long time. They've been singing in the choir, been on the deacon board, sitting right beside you, ain't saying a thing. As the country said, they haven't parted their lips. And here it is, the Lord has brought you in to give God glory. They should be shouting with you, but if they ain't gonna shout with you, that's all right. Hold on, I gotta go. Now watch this. He says, I come back to give God glory all by myself. Really, a tenth. One out of 10 is a tenth. And Jesus says, I can deal with the 10. Jesus says, where are the 9? Now, y'all do know that Jesus is the hypostatic union, undiminished deity, perfect humanity simultaneously. In other words, when Jesus asks a question, he's not asking because he does not know. He's always asking a question because you and I fail to ask the question that needs to be asked. So he needs, since he is the answer, to give us the question. It's algebra. He gives us the answer and then he says, now listen, let me give you the question for the answer. Where are the 9? Jesus, why are you looking for the 9? Here it is. The man says, Oliver, I came back because I didn't misinterpret the miracle. Jesus says the miracle was an appetizer. I worked the miracle to get their attention so that I could do something greater on the inside. And I want to talk to somebody up in here tonight who've experienced a miracle. The Lord has done something wonderful for you, didn't he? He's done something amazing for you, didn't he? Opened a door that nobody could close. Didn't he do it? Closed the door nobody could open. Didn't he do it? Protected you from your enemies. They were making some weapons. They were forming some weapons. It just so happened that no weapon formed against you prosper. Here's the good news. Boy, if I was at a full gospel church tonight, man, we would run all over this place. Here's the good news. Here's the good news. Whatever the Lord has done for you already, it's an appetizer. The devil is a liar and a deceiver too. God is not through blessing you. I wish I had somebody in the church to shout tonight, he ain't through. This leper says, I came back tonight because I didn't misinterpret the miracle. Miracles are just precursors to everything that God wants to do. I hear him saying, I just came back to tell him thank you. I just came back to fall down on my knees at his feet and give God glory. But when I came back to give him glory, I got something else. When I came back to tell the Lord thank you, I got something else. When I came back to tell the Lord much obliged, I got something else. When I came back to give God praise, I got something else. Because Jesus said to me, young man, thy faith has made thee whole. And here the other nine are walking around through the city, and they are made healed, but only one is made whole. And you will know the difference between healed and whole by the person's ability to give God glory. There are people in here tonight who have been healed. But there are some others in here tonight who've been made whole. And the difference is, watch the ones who are willing to give God glory for what he's already done. Because if you want to ask the question, where are the nine? The answer is, they're somewhere healed. But I am the one that was made whole, because I come to give God glory. Is there anybody here tonight that can wave your hand and say, I am the one that came back to give God glory? And I know we can't touch our neighbor, but you ought to just testify, I came back because my deliverance wasn't my dilemma. I came back with a predetermined parallel for praise. And I came back because my miracle wasn't misinterpreted. Because the question is, among preachers and pastors, are our people coming back?
happen. Well, I'm not worried tonight because you let me know that somebody is coming back. And when you talk to your friends and they ask you, are y'all back in church? Tell them, yes, I came back because the Lord has been good to me. Is there anybody here that can say, I came back because he keeps coming back? I came back because he keeps coming back. Every morning he comes back and wakes me up. Every day he comes back and puts food on my table. Every evening he comes back and watches over me. Can you testify tonight? I came back because he keeps coming back. Because one Friday he died. Didn't he die? But early Sunday morning he came back. Didn't he come back? He got up early Sunday morning, and every time I turn around, he keeps on coming back. Why don't you turn around tonight? Because every time I turn around, he keeps on coming back. He keeps coming back. Now lift your hands and tell him thank you for coming back. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Stand to your feet. Your miracle. Your wonder is just the appetizer. Don't get full off of your appetizer. Some of you, the only thing you have to testify about is what the Lord did in 1995. People of God, it was just an appetizer. It was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. Now here it is. Here it is. Listen. Listen. The key to your next miracle is appreciation for your last miracle. God is getting ready to do something major for you that you hadn't even planned. But you've got to be grateful for what he's already done. Oh Lord, I give you praise. Come on, lift your hands. Do it with me. Lord, I bless your name and I lift my voice to say thank you for your goodness and your mercy toward me. For your goodness. Come on, you bless him. And your mercy toward me. For your goodness. And your mercy toward me. Yeah.
I offer praise.
Come on, bless him for you yesterday. Bless him for you yesterday. Bless him for you yesterday.
Oh Lord, I give you praise. And Lord, I bless your name. And I lift my voice. I'm gonna say thank you, gonna say thank you for your goodness.
Come on, I'm through. I want you to say that. And your mercy toward me. Everybody, come on.
For your
I want everybody to sing it. Come on, for your goodness, for your and your mercy,
for your goodness, for your,
come on,
goodness. Has the Lord been good to anybody?
Goodness.
Has the Lord been good to you?
Goodness.
Can you say he's been good?
Goodness.
He's been good to me.
Goodness.
He's been good to me.
Goodness.
He's goodness.
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 For your.
For your.
And your mercy,
and your mercy toward us,
I offer praise.
Now spend some time giving him praise however you want to.
Yeah.
For what he's already done. Oh, wait a minute. He gave God glory with a loud voice.
Yeah.
Come on, give God glory with all you got.
My. Anybody here can say God's been good to me? Anybody here can wave your hand and say God's been good to me? Could have been dead sleeping in my grave. He made, oh death, babe. God's been good to me.
Listen, I have an assignment. We could stay all night. Listen, I have an assignment. Maybe you're in this place tonight and you recognize tonight, you know, I look just like that leper at the beginning of that passage. Had an issue, the issue of sin, and I needed the Lord to speak cleansing into my life.
Christians, I want you to bow your heads, because I want you to pray, because you never know who's sitting in front of you, who's sitting at that pew at the other end. Somebody came tonight saying, I need to be cleansed. I need the Lord to cleanse me. I need Him to wash me. I need Him to speak over my life. Speak into my life. If you're in here tonight, maybe you're watching via streaming. Is there a number they can call? If you're watching streaming, if you're watching on YouTube, whatever, there's a number you can call. Call this church tonight. You're not watching by accident. You are not in this building tonight by accident. You're not in this building by coincidence. God had you here tonight to hear this singing, to be prayed over, and to hear this word, and to see some other saints in this place. Trust Him tonight with your life. Trust Him tonight with your life. He can make you clean. Won't He make you clean? Come on, you can make your way down this aisle. Pastor, that word was for me tonight. I want to give my life to Christ. I want Him to speak cleansing into my life. Come on, come on. We're still social distancing, but we can receive you tonight. Don't you leave here like you came. Don't you dare leave here like you came. You can be saved tonight. The Lord can cleanse you tonight. If she wants to come, let her come. For your goodness. Come on, y'all pray. Y'all pray. And your mercy. Don't pray for a new car, not right now. I want you to pray that if there's anybody who doesn't know Christ and the pardon of their sin, that they will trust Him tonight. Toward us. Now listen, here's another call. Maybe you're in here tonight and you need a good church home. Maybe you need a good church home. Listen, show me your fellowship, I will show you your future. You need to be a part of a good church. You've been born again, but you need to be in a place where you can be developed within. This is a good church. Great pastor, great people. Join tonight. Pastor, I'm already saved, but I need a good church home. This is where you need to be. Come on, one last time. Give God glory for what He's already done.
Quickly again tonight, we don't do a lot of talking after preaching. I want you to leave with preaching. I want you to grab a gift that you have presented unto the Lord tonight, and I want you to give it on your way out after Dr. Oliver has prayed and dismissed us. So get your gift in your hand. So good to see Dr. Woods. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord for Dr. Woods. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. So good to have Reverend Van. Amen. Thank God for His presence tonight. Thank God for His presence tonight. Listen, on your way out, get your gift. Get your gift. Get your gift. After Dr. Oliver will pray over us and dismiss us, give on your way out. See you again tomorrow night for the third night of our revival. And we know God is going to take us higher. Dr. Oliver.
Now may the grace of our Lord,
yes, Lord,
and the sweet communion of His Holy Spirit,
yes,
rest, rule, and remain with us henceforth, now, and forevermore. Let us all respond, Amen.
Amen.
Amen.